Concours Écricom 2012, épreuve orale de langue anglaise.
Texte numéro 20. A change of climate. The weary delegates may still be too tired to begin the battle for ratification, but after 14 days of protracted wrangling, including more than 50 hours of non-stop negotiation beyond the deadline, the climate conference in Durban has achieved more than anyone initially expected. The unwieldy conference of 194 delegates has, for the first time, committed all the main producers of greenhouse gases to reducing carbon emissions and to a roadmap for a future accord. It has bound all nations in a single legal framework, and it has risen above national interests to show a heartening global commitment to fighting global warming. After the fiasco of the Copenhagen summit in 2009, there were scant hopes for this follow-up conference to the Kyoto Protocol, which expires next year. Each of the three big polluters, China, America, and India, was still reluctant to accept any limits on its emissions without a commitment from the other two. After hard-won compromises, the Durban platform now includes China, the world's biggest emitter, and India, both of whom refused to sign Kyoto, and America, which signed but did not then ratify the protocol. This is a substantial achievement. It is all the more surprising given the political climate. China's relations with America and the West have frayed as Beijing promotes its global interests and ambitions. India has become increasingly prickly and erratic as its weak government hankers for the world stage without being able to muster the necessary political focus. And as America enters the election cycle, the Obama administration might have been tempted to sidestep a commitment that is a red rag to Republican campaigners. Even Europe, struggling with its economic travails, has started to lose interest in and zeal for costly carbon reduction commitments. Scientists and activists will complain that Durban's only commitment is to more talks and that any agreement will not become operational until 2020. Many will attack the Durban deal for its ambiguities and the vagueness of the legal framework. What they should instead be celebrating is the survival, even in these straitened times, of the Copenhagen proposal for a green climate fund. This will help to channel up to $100 billion a year to poor, vulnerable countries by 2020. They should be relieved that the European Union, for all the flaws of Kyoto, has rededicated itself to 20% reductions in greenhouse gas emissions by 2020 over 1990 levels. The importance of Durban lies in setting international targets. These do two things. They motivate and reinforce national policy, and they give confidence to countries and investors that policy will last. This latter point matters especially, for it is the incentives to industry, the technological challenge, and the need to develop non-polluting sources of energy that will, in the end, decide whether survival in a warming world is possible. These depend on human ingenuity, on scientific innovation, and on commercial application. Fin du texte numéro 20.